Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sal Licata back on the Fan. Time to hit you with the crown topic of the day, and it is, of course, the NFL draft. And for me, BT, tomorrow we better be talking about a new franchise quarterback for the New York Giants. We'll see what they do at number six. One thing on that, to just further the conversation here, I saw a tweet from Tom Curran, who covers the Patriots a long time. He's Patriots insider.
Yeah, I know the name. Yep.
NBC Sports Boston.
NBC, yeah.
Yeah. He says, quote, expect the Patriots to take Drake May at number three tonight unless Vikings or Giants make them an offer that they can't refuse, which can then further the conversation. If you're the Giants, should they make the offer that the Patriots can't refuse to get Drake May? And to me, the answer is yes, if they love him. And it means getting your franchise quarterback and moving on from Daniel Jones, then absolutely, unequivocally, yes. The only thing I'm not doing is reaching for J.J. McCarthy, meaning if he's there at six and you like him, take him.
Yeah.
I'm not trading up for him. But get a franchise quarterback. It is imperative that we end the Daniel Jones era.
The Giants are nowhere near winning a Super Bowl. They're just not. And tonight's got to start that path to getting back on track to being the Giants. And, you know, I think that it's time this regime stamps it with their own imprint here, you know? Now, you could say that they kind of stamped it when they extended Daniel Jones, which is literally true, but the caveat is after 2 years, you could obviously get off the hook there. And I think in a lot of ways, they had to extend him after that Vikings playoff win. So it was a short run. The run's over. Daniel Jones is not the guy. He's always banged up. He's got average arm talent. And his contract is, at this point, too much money for a guy who doesn't elevate those around him. Giants know this. We know this. Everybody knows this. And I said 2 weeks ago, and I certainly said yesterday, and I echo, you know, what Sal's saying for the most part today. Get a quarterback tonight. And the Daniel Jones era needs to end. The one difference would be, if the quarterback is not there, I'm definitely not reaching. And because the Giants have so many holes, I might be in the business of just trading down and getting two or three good players and building this the organic way. The quick fix is, hey, we got our quarterback. Let's go move up, get this guy. Let me ask you something. All of you who are clamoring, you got you out there, right? Clamoring for Drake May. How many times you watched Drake May play football right this year? How many times? If you want Penix, well, the Giants can scoop down and get Michael Penix at 13 and or 12 or maybe beat the Raiders to Penix. How many times you watch Michael Penix this year or at Indiana a couple of years ago? How many times have you watched Bo Nix? It's like this is the – not much is the answer if you're honest with yourself. This is the thing about the NFL draft that is frustrating and equal parts fun. And I'm part of it as well.
Right.
All of the yelling that we do – we haven't really seen these guys that much.
Right, but you could say what you want them to do with whatever intel or information or just belief that you may have.
Yeah.
And then we'll see how it plays out. And then, of course, we'll react to it, not only this year immediately, but in years to come and always look back. And that's what makes this so fun. My general philosophies are build inside out, especially when you have those high picks. So if I'm the Giants, they need a quarterback. They know they need a quarterback. We all know they need a quarterback. Which one it may be, everybody could differ on that. It seems to me like Drake May would be their top choice. then go trade with the Patriots, make them an offer they can't refuse, and you get him, rather than trading up and taking the next best guy in J.J. McCarthy. That I wouldn't do under any circumstance. I'd consider it if they like McCarthy at number six. If not, I am, me personally, am trading down. I'm not, under any circumstance, taking a wide receiver there. Harrison, I guess I'd consider, but even then, Giants need way more than just taking a wide receiver with the top pick. To me, that would be reckless and foolish. Trade down and get more picks and then figure it out. But if it's me, I'm that close to getting a franchise-changing quarterback, I'm trading up to get Drake May.
See, but this isn't Eli all over, and people are trying to make it, and I obviously understand the similarities here, but you know, everybody in that building wanted Eli Manning. I'm not saying that Drake May, I actually really like Drake May. I like him more than most of the players, most of them. More than McCarthy.
In the building, though?
You tell me that there's not some fracture? I mean, that everybody... Now, of course, the chain and ownership has to, you know, sign off on this, but the scouts, you tell me that everybody's looking at Drake May saying, we got to move mountains to get this guy? There's no way that's the case.
Well, then they
won't.
There's no way. Then they won't, and then they're going to be screwed because they're going to be there at number six, and they're not moving... If they're not moving mountains to get Drake May, and they maybe don't love J.J. McCarthy
at six... Take the best receiver or the offensive lineman.
Yeah, then
trade
down.
That's where we really differ.
Then I would trade down. I can't...
Or trade down, or and maybe get a receiver after you trade down, or an O-lineman.
I'm fine with whatever you do. Trade down, you get more picks.
Yeah.
But at some point... And I'd like to see it tonight, get a quarterback. They need a quarterback. Like, you could say, oh, yeah, but two couple of things I would not do. I would not take a wide receiver with number six. That's, like, definitive number one. The other thing is they definitively need a quarterback. I cannot take the Daniel Jones stuff anymore. It has to come to an end. And if they take a quarterback later in the draft, it still means Daniel Jones is going to be the guy for now with the potential to prove himself yet again moving forward. Let's say in your scenario, they do take Neighbors at number six.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have Jones as the starting quarterback, assuming health, going into the season with Neighbors as the quarterback.
No Saquon.
But still, Jones has some success with Neighbors, and now it starts to go back to, oh, see, well, he had some success his first year. He had some success with his first year at Dable and Shane, and now he had a weapon, and he had some, and then you're buying into Daniel Jones again.
See, don't think that's going to happen.
I hope.
I'm 100% with you on that. That would be unacceptable. Like, not that Giant fans wouldn't enjoy being competitive. Of course you would, but you can't let, I mean, anything short of a Super Bowl win or a Super Bowl appearance with Daniel Jones. There's nothing that could happen this year to change my opinion. And I think many of you probably feel that way. And if you don't, you probably should.
Even if he won a Super Bowl, it wouldn't change my opinion. It would just be different. But, I mean.
If he wins. Come on, what do you mean? If he wins and he goes for three Bills and he plays well?
I mean, sometimes.
You still wouldn't give him props? Jeez.
No. You give him props, sure.
I mean, you still wouldn't. I know what you're saying.
The narrative
changes, but
you either. He could have some success. Like, he already did that, not winning a Super Bowl, but he won a road playoff game. There were only two more games for him to win.
But they got destroyed in the next game they played.
It looked like
JV versus varsity.
I understand
which
that.
Which undid a lot of the good on a lot of levels in the Vikings game.
Like, look, Eli winning a Super Bowl, the first one,
yeah,
it quieted a lot of people, but it still didn't change how most people viewed Eli Manning as far as a regular season quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I got news for you. Neither did the second championship.
Well, see, I was going to say, until the second one, because once it happened twice, now it's not just, oh, he went on one of the all-time lucky runs or great runs in the postseason. It wasn't lucky, but one of the all-time great runs in the postseason. It was a pedestrian regular season. He never put up big-time numbers in the regular season.
No.
But he won a Super Bowl. Okay, so he's just a quarterback that won a Super Bowl that happened to have an all-time great postseason. But then he did it again.
Yeah.
And now that's less fluky. Like, you do it once, you can make the argument it's a fluke. You do it twice, there is no argument.
Well, I'm going to split it down the middle. I think it cemented his clutch gene.
Yeah.
But I don't think, at least for me, and I'll just talk for myself here, I don't think that ever, and this goes back to all the Eli conversations I've had on the old station with Tiki on national stuff, and you know, when he was winding down with the Giants and Geno played. I mean, I'm talking about Eli forever, like all of us have. I look at him more as just a clutch, slow heartbeat money guy. I never thought he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
The second Super Bowl never changed that for me.
Fair
and it
enough.
Never will.
I think he's
but all, I admit he's a Hall of Famer because of the second Super Bowl.
Right, but that is then to my point about Daniel Jones. Like, even if he won a Super Bowl, I still think of him what I think of him.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, he's not going to win a Super Bowl.
I got you.
That's not going to happen here. But the point is, to me, the Giants need to move on from Daniel Jones. And the only way they do that definitively now is to draft a first-round quarterback that is eventually going to start this year. We also worked the Jets into the conversation. I think Bowers would be a bust if they take him at number 10. I would not do that. I know BT loves him.
Yep.
So we've had that conversation as well. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name-brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Paul is in Newark. And, Paul, you don't want the Giants to select at number 6.
You are goddamn right.
Jeez.
You're goddamn right. Because basically, what we can do is, you know, call up Minnesota, see if they want to trade up and try to get their quarterback, because you know they want a quarterback. And the Giants can get Penix down at 11, and then at 23 they can get a tackle or a receiver. And then...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
As far as even the draft, DT, no one knows what these guys are going to be. For every Joe Alt, there's a freaking Mekhi Becton. And for every tight end, for every Bowers, you have,
Chase Amaro.
Yeah, right.
I know. I know this.
But on a side note, BT, you see that little bit video I sent you on that side comparison with our boy Spencer Jones looking like Matt Olson?
I didn't see that. No.
Oh, God.
I got to check it out.
Yeah. I sent it to you.
What on X? Over on a little DM?
Yeah,
I got to check it out.
Well, right. One of the 5 games, thanks for the call.
Well, I'm sure it was Spencer Jones doing something well.
Yeah, one of the 5 games he's played in so far. I mean, come on. Jason Morrow, where did they take him?
He was like 12th, I want to say-ish. He was at Texas A&M. Mm.
I'd love to go.
Small
actually,
hands. Small hands.
You know what they say about small hands. Hoff or Boyle, one of you guys, if you have the time, I want the scouting report, pre-draft scouting report, on Jason Morrow.
Pull it up right now. It takes two minutes.
Let's compare it to... Can you get it?
Yeah, I can get it. It's called Google.
Yeah, no, I know. But by the time you get it, I mean, I'm trying to conduct a show here.
Oh, right? It's so hard.
He was in 2014. He was a second-round pick.
Okay, second-round pick.
No, that's so right. He was
49.
Round.
Okay.
What, 49?
49th pick.
Do you here have the scouting report.
You have it, the pre-draft scouting
report. Yeah, I got your scouting report. Yeah. All right, Jason Morrow, draft and combine prospect file.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
I love this.
Now, He also played in a very souped-up offense where there was a lot of reps and a lot of targets. So
Mike Leach, right, was running things there?
Was he running them? I'm not sure.
Okay, well, anyway.
Let's see. Highly productive, finesse.
Yeah, no good right there.
Right away.
The first word. I know.
Detached. Okay, so he's soft.
Right.
Tight end who racked up 104 receptions, blah, blah, blah. He was essentially an inside receiver for the Red Raiders. Will have to play a similar role in the pros as he is not equipped to survive in line. So I know what you were
what
trying.
What a terrible pick.
Well, I know what you were trying to do.
He's a second-round pick.
But I know what you were trying. Yeah. You thought it was going to be this glowing report. See? Yeah. Look at what they're saying about Chase Amaro back then, and right. He stunk. Well, but it was the exact opposite. Yeah. So now where do you go?
All right, go to Kyle Brady.
Well, I'm not your Mel Kiper. Why don't you go to Kyle Brady? You got a computer.
The point is you can compare apples to apples. First round, second round is different.
Kyle Brady was a blocker.
Yeah.
You know what? I will do it just for the sake of – I'm going to actually do it. Because Kyle Brady coming out of Penn State.
Well, he was the first-round pick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle Brady, I think he was eighth or ninth. They could have taken Warren Sapp. Yeah. He was a blocker. He
played with. How'd that work out?
Awful. I hated the pick.
So just by my philosophy alone, could have taken Warren Sapp, but D-tackle, I don't care about what his issues were coming out of college. D-tackle or tight end? Let me think about it. Oh, got to take the tight end. Oh, we need a tight end. And back then, it was probably more about run blocking than it was about fantasy numbers.
Okay, so.
Going back many years ago.
This is obviously going back a ways here. Now. So remember we talked about what did Kyle Pitts run the 40, do you remember?
No. 4.4.
Okay. What is
Yeah, Kyle
my
Brady
guy?
Was big and slow, I'm sure.
Well, exactly. But yeah. What did Brock Bowers run it?
4.5,
Yeah. I saw one where it was a tick below 5, okay. Like to the 100th. Either way, but I'll say 4.5. Kyle Brady at the combine ran almost a 4.9.
Right. He's just a different player.
Well, but he sucked. Yeah. I mean, all he could do is... They would have been better, and I think that there was a thought. I think Parcells kicked this around. You're better off tacking 30 pounds off the guy and making him a left tackle rather than making him lose 15 and keeping him a tight end. He couldn't catch.
Right.
And we knew it because I watched Penn State, Kajana Carter, Kerry Collins. They had like multiple first-round picks that year.
How about Shockey? Is he a good comp to
Bowers? Oh, Shockey was a beat. Yeah. I think that Bowers runs better routes. That's the word. Again, I'm not trying to play pro scout here.
All right.
Pull up Shockey's.
How about Evan Engram? He's another one. Oh, tight end. Yeah, Cam. Now, even him, 23. We're talking about 10.
I don't
10.
Know, but you're confusing me. What are you talking about?
Eric,
you're just naming former tight ends.
Eric Ebron.
Yeah, he's another
good
one
from North Carolina.
Draft class 2014. Went 10th overall.
Yeah. Did the Lions, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you have a scouting report?
No need, he sucked.
Yeah, no need.
But the whole point is we're trying to see what they said about them before they got to the NFL.
Yeah, and most of these guys, certainly in the top 10, are going to have favorable things said about them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be going top 10. And
obviously.
The point is it doesn't mean anything.
Kyle Brady didn't have many favorable things. Neither did Amaro, you know, who was an early second-round pick.
Right, you know what we exposed there? The ineptitude of the Jets. How stupid they are. That guys that don't even have good things to be said about, they take them still where they shouldn't.
It's also different. I think Kyle was 97. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about years ago.
Such a more physical the tight end was different. Warren Sapp, ooh, we smoked marijuana.
Yeah,
we can't draft him. Yeah. He tried the Mary Jane, all the old names, right?
I think the best comp is Kyle Pitts. And Kyle Pitts is much more athletic than Bowers.
But he's
is.
Not. You keep saying that. That's not true. He's 1/10 of a second faster.
No, he's taller and faster.
But
he's
you're saying athletic. Much more athletic is not 1/10 of a second.
He's
much
three
more
inches
athletic
taller.
Is Kyle Pitts to Kyle Brady.
Well, hold on a second. He's 3 inches taller.
Okay.
And faster.
What's his catch radius?
I have no idea what
that
even
matters.
Means. Catch radius. Catch radius.
You know what that means.
No, I don't.
Extend your arms.
I would venture to say it's Kyle Pitts.
It is, but it's not by as much as you think because I've looked into it.
He's 3 inches taller
I know.
And faster. Like it's
harder
to be
1/10 of a second.
It's harder to be faster if you are taller.
Well, okay, so
and look at the two side by side. One actually looks like he's athletic.
I don't
the other
care
does
about
not.
That. I don't looks athletic. Whatever.
Right.
So one
and the point is one was said to be transcendent. You can't miss. He's going to be game changing.
Oh, now let me give you
and
my
he's
example.
Not.
Okay,
and now Brock Bowers is. The same thing, and I guarantee you he's not. He's going to be worse than Kyle Pitts.
You have no basis to say that except you think. And by the way, that's my basis as well. I think he's going to be good.
Right.
So it's not a knock. It is what it is. But this is why you sound nuts. It's like a pitcher throwing 98 and the next prospect throwing 97.
Right.
Okay? So there's really no discernible difference. Like a 4.5 to a 4.4, maybe it's more than one. So maybe it's 98 to 96. Okay? So one guy throws 98, one guy's throwing 96. The guy who throws 98 can't spot the ball. The guy who throws 96 could. Kyle Pitts doesn't run the routes that Brock Bowers does.
Oh, come on.
I don't know that.
Kyle Pitts has been. If Brock Bowers.
No,
is
I hope that the Jets take him. And I
me
hope
too. Because it'll be a year.
Oh.
It'll be years in the making. And by the way, maybe not. Maybe it'll be a bust right out of the gate in year one. If Brock Bowers is even a fraction of what Kyle Pitts, who I deem a bust, If he does a fraction of what Kyle Pitts has done in the NFL, I would be surprised.
I would just like, for the jury here, the player that my partner has assigned bust label to had over 1,000 yards receiving as a rookie with no quarterback.
Right.
That's not a bust.
Because they said you take him at number four.
But that's not a bust.
He's going to be game-changing.
But that's not a bust.
Is he as good as Travis Kelce?
Who is?
Okay, they took him 63rd. So you can, so Andy Reid did it. You could find a tight end that you could take later in the draft, and the Jets, the pathetic New York Jets, who couldn't hit a draft pick if their life depended on it
Gardner,
for the majority
Garrett
of their
Wilson,
existence.
Quinn yeah, Williams,
okay, so you want to go
Barrett
over the bad
Tucker.
List? Yeah. Yeah. You want to go over the bad list?
No.
Okay, I don't think so.
Here a while.
Yeah, so even a blind squirrel finds a nut, and Joe Douglas has found a couple of nuts.
You're a nut.
Yeah, that is true. Look, I'm rooting for the Jets. You cannot take a tight end.
Yes, you can.
Number 10.
And they probably will.
And the real big point is whether we think Bauer is going to be good or not, or whether Kyle Pitts or whatever, they took Kyle Pitts at number 4, and he's still good, and it's still a bust. You can't do that. You can't take a tight end number 10. There's not, if the Jets did that, I would be extremely disappointed, not to mention this particular tight end. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Oh.
We got an NFL trade.
This is not NFL related. This is Rangers related.
Heedle?
Yes. Now, it's nothing significant yet, but he's joining the team to the Washington trip, on the Washington trip.
Okay.
I think that's bigger news. He's getting ready to come back.
Which means once they smoke him in 4, he's ready for round 2.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what that means.
Yeah, I would not play Heedle in round 1. No need to. Not necessary. Coming back.
Okay,
right.
That's a good thing.
I mean, was it siren worthy?
No.
I mean, I had to get it in somehow.
I know. No, I like the siren.
We're also 4 minutes late for break, so maybe the siren was just a little not too subtle.
It was
to go to break.
Well, I was about to break, and then I hear the siren.
Yeah, that's true.
And then
or
I get excited.
And a minute to the segment.
And then I get excited and curious at the same time.
Me too.
And
I'm like,
especially on draft day, we're all thinking it's going to be a big draft.
Did the
draft
Giants
trade.
Make a trade? Did the Raiders jump up? Denver do something to get a quarterback?
Jets trade back? What's
Somebody's
going on?
Jumping on the bus and going down to D.C. with the Rangers.
I actually found out the Ebron combine status.
Well, you have it?
Very fast, extremely rare speed, and athleticism, supreme receiving tight end, mismatch nightmare, a lot of nonsense.
Right, exactly.
That he's terrible.
And that's the point. They really mean nothing.
Terrible. Sal, I got a tweet for you. Ready?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say who it's from.
Okay.
I'm going to read the contents first, and then we will determine whether or not we have an issue with it.
Okay.
Okay. If we draft Rome, I'm just reading. If we draft Rome, Bowers, MHJ, obviously Marvin Harrison Jr., Neighbors, or Joe Alt, I will be announcing the pick tonight. If anybody besides these guys are picked, I will not announce the pick.
Hmm.
So, who do you think tweeted that?
Well, somebody from the Jets, obviously.
Yep.
It's
a player.
Yeah. Well, who's on social media that's prominent?
Who do you think?
Yeah, the guy with the ice, Sauce.
It's Sauce.
Yeah. Now, is he there? I don't understand.
I don't know. It's not malicious. It's not bad. But it's just not emblematic of a buttoned-up franchise.
Well, let me ask you something.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what championship
what
franchises, young, great players tweet.
Well, Sauce runs his mouth. I mean,
and I love Sauce. Yeah. He's great for the game. Yeah. He's a good kid. But
it'd be nice if they actually won some games before
names.
He started running his mouth. I liked him. I love the pick. I do love corners with that type of confidence. I respect all that. You got to shut up until you actually win. They haven't done anything. And then he's talking like that. But don't you think that maybe he's in on something?
Well, I mean, I don't doubt it. I mean, and listen, anybody can. I just got a tweet from, pardon me, a text from the Jets building.
Okay.
Literally 3 minutes ago. They love all three top wide receivers, right? And I wrote something back. I won't tell you what I wrote. They wrote back, if they don't get any of those, they will try and trade down. Which is what I've been saying, right?
The top three receivers, that includes
if they
the tight
don't
end?
Get one of the top three receivers, they would try to trade down. So that now,
but that means not taking the tight end.
That
at
means
10.
Not Bowers, which is different from what I'm thinking. But what matters is what they're thinking in the building.
Right.
And the text that I just got from somebody in the building, that's what they said. We'll see if they're right. But
can you text them back and ask them which
come
of the
on
top-
the show and identify themselves?
No. Which of the top quarterbacks, in their opinion, can spin it?
I'm not going to ask him that.
You know I had to.
I hear
you.
I know. Mike White could spin it. This guy could spin it. I know. I was probably saying the same thing about Bryce Petty. He could spin it. He played in a big conference. Aired it out quite a bit. I just think that this is pretty easy.
Stephen, you call yourself.
I'm such a loser with the Jets.
No, no, it's not you. You were saying that you were talking to somebody in the building, and they said, hey, even you, after I said I was like BT, you're like, what am I talking about? Nah. Timmy Boyle.
Tim Boyle throws the hell out of it, like spins it hard. Spins it. Like, I couldn't just stop there. Hey, guys, I heard Timmy spins it. I know he spins the heck out of it. No, I had to go DeMore. Like, I mean, spins it hard. Let me hear that idiocy again. What a dope. Go ahead.
Yeah, that Boyle.
He's got it. Tim Boyle throws the hell out of it. Like, spins it hard. Ugh. It's just disgraceful.
I'm sorry for bringing it up.
No, it's funny. I mean, you got to laugh at yourself. It's hysterical.
All right, but it is. So that is informative. Ellie said they love the top three wide receivers.
I'm going to text back once we go to break. Yeah. Like, can you give me the order of preference if you could actually get that? Who do they like? One, two, and three. What's the order?
I actually like that. I would, and you know where I stand on wide receivers. As a matter of fact, I said I didn't want the Jets to take their wide receiver, their second wide receiver in the draft. I'd rather an O-lineman. But being that they got Mike Williams, I think it helps a little bit. And I'd rather have the wide receiver than I would Brock Bowers in this particular case. So I like that, what I'm hearing there.
Yeah, I don't dislike it because I've been saying for a while that they're going to take a receiver or Bowers or trade down. That's like, so this doesn't surprise me. It does surprise me a little that, at least from this text, they're a little less in maybe, at least from what I'm hearing on Bowers than maybe I thought. But the other thing I take away from this is, if you take a receiver tonight, is that kind of an acknowledgement like, we're not signing Garrett Wilson?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
I would think no way. I would. It never crossed my mind.
You're going to have two top paid wide receivers? Not to mention Sauce?
It's a great point.
Not to mention Breece getting a few bucks. Yeah. Not that kind of money, but.
Yeah, I mean, it is a great point, and it's something you'd have to consider. Being that you said that, then I even more would trade down and not take one of those wide receivers. But I was just looking at it in short-term window right now with Rodgers this year, next year. You worry about that stuff, I guess, down the road where they're going to have a lot to worry about. I'd rather have, if you're taking that out of the equation, I'd rather have a wide receiver than the tight end or a lineman. I prefer the lineman or trade down.
I'm going to give you my perfect scenario. Then we'll get back to the calls here, obviously. So if the Jets traded down a couple of spots, got Bowers, got back into the second round, which they currently don't have due to the Rodgers trade, and get either, you know, best available O-lineman or receiver, that is crush. That is a trade down a couple spots, still get Bowers.
Best.
By trading down a couple of spots, you get a second round pick from whomever you deal with. Now get the old lineman or the receiver.
I'd be okay with that, more so than just taking Bowers at number 10, but I still think Bowers is not going to be what they think he could be. Also, I would say that my preference for the Jets would be to take the best lineman at number 10. If one of the three receivers there, I'd be accepting of it, but I would prefer they take a lineman there or trade down.
Best available lineman? Like, meaning if Joe Alt is generally thought to be the best, if Alt's still there?
What about
there,
the kid from Penn State,
no,
too?
No, he's generally second.
One of those two.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be Alt.
No.
Because he's the consensus first. That doesn't mean he's going to be better.
Right, I would take one of those two, the lineman.
Yeah, I mean, that's
practical.
And
have to not worry
that
about that
too.
Moving forward. That would be my first choice.
I wouldn't
choice.
Do it, but I understand what you're
and,
saying.
And for the Giants, just to tie them back in here,
yep.
I would. See, there was a difference yesterday when we were talking about it with potentially trading up to number 3. because the Patriots' willingness, where you thought it might be possible. I was like, no way they're trading that third pick. And then today, you know, we're getting more reports. And Tom Kern, as we mentioned before, from NBC Patriots Insider, saying that they're taking Drake May. The Patriots are at three unless they get blown away, which means to me, and plus you add that to already some of the scuttlebutt that we've heard, it is possible. And if it is possible that they would trade that number three, then the Giants need to do whatever it takes to get that third pick and take Drake May.
Here's what that tells me specific to the Pats, which obviously would residually impact the Giants if the Giants are inclined to move up, which I think they are. So the Patriots are obviously inviting deals. We're right. open for business, guys. Knock, knock.
Blow us away.
Blow us away. But they're also telling us without telling us that they don't love one of these quarterbacks enough, because if you did, you're not trading out no matter what. If you view Drake May as the absolute, no doubt, no flaws, almost perfect prospect to be here 10, 12, 13, 15 years and be a Hall of Fame star, you're not trading.
But couldn't it be that they are not anywhere near where they need to be as a franchise? And even though they may love Drake May, they say to themselves, we can get a quarterback next year or 2 years from now. We need so many things on this roster.
They could, but I don't think that's the right move, because I think next year's quarterback crop is really weak.
Or maybe they take a quarterback later and they say, hey, trade up, give us a boatload, and we'll take a chance on a quarterback later in the draft. They're in a spot where they need even more than the Giants do.
I think they might be in the best position in the draft. I'm not questioning. Yeah, I think that they're in a real power position. There's no doubt. All I'm saying is, again, just think about this. Like, if there's something, whatever it is, the home that you were looking, you're like, I need this home, and this is perfect. No matter what, I am. If I have the money to buy the home, I'm buying it.
But from the Giants' perspective, what would you do?
I don't know how they feel about these players. Well, that's what changed.
Let's say they love Drake May. I mean, you're not
if you love him like you loved Eli, you move mountains to move to three, you make it happen.
That's the point.
Yep.
Is that if it's available, the problem would be, well, shoot, we can't trade to number two because Washington's not trading their pick, and they're certainly not doing it to us.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're not trading up to number one. So the only spot was that third pick. If they want their guy that they're going to be able to get, Drake May, it would be that third pick. If New England said, nah, we're not open for business, Giants would be screwed. They're not saying that.
Yeah.
Which means if the Giants do love him, to your point, they better go all in to get him. Brandon Sheeran, Sal Cotta back on the fan.
And then we'll take it higher.
Tomorrow, BT, at this time, we'll have a special in-studio
guest. Little Eddie
Grant. What happened?
Little Eddie Grant.
I don't know. Never heard of him. Huh. I mean, I've heard of this song. I don't know who Eddie Grant is.
Electric Avenue, dude.
What
1983.
What else does Eddie Grant do?
I think this is the one-hit wonder.
I've definitely heard of the song. Yeah. Don't love it, but never heard of Eddie Grant before. Somebody I have heard of before, Brandon Jacobs, will be in studio tomorrow with us, and I'm sure we'll have a lot to react to one way or another. And the more I think about this, BT, the closer we get to this now, and you know, you see the reports I told you about Tom Curran from the Patriots' perspective. Like, I was not sure. Matter of fact, yesterday we had this conversation, and you were saying that you thought the Patriots could trade that pick. I was saying I don't think that they would. I'd be surprised. But the fact that they're open to it, that has been now reported multiple spots, that they're open to it. Now, it's going to take a lot, but they're open to trading him or trading that pick. The more then I think about it, if they are willing to trade that pick and the Giants need a quarterback, assuming that they love Drake May, and if they didn't, they wouldn't even be in the conversation to trade up for that third pick, they need to do it. This is not about J.J. McCarthy. It's not about really any other quarterback. It's about a franchise that needs a franchise quarterback that has the opportunity to trade up to get one. Yes, they have other needs, but you move up three picks, whatever that cost is to New England to be able to take May, you do it.
I think it's, the more I think about this, I think it's either Drake May or
receiver.
Receiver.
Right, for me, that means bust.
I don't think they're taking McCarthy. I just don't.
Well, Tiki, you got to give him credit because he was the first to really like go against that.
Yeah.
Right? I know we're trying to decipher.
Yeah,
I know he said he didn't want to, but because we didn't just make it up with J.J. McCarthy. It wasn't even a thought that he would be a top pick.
I know.
And then all of a sudden it was, remember there was a report a few weeks back that Washington was considering J.J. McCarthy at number two. And then it became really like, hey, so not just the Giants at six, but like he could be a top guy. Then, oh man, you're going to have to trade up to number four to get him. That's where I started getting like, all right, this is getting ridiculous here. I don't love the idea of McCarthy, but if the Giants do love him, I'm fine with that at six. I'm not trading up to four to get him. And if he's not there at six, then trade down. I'm all in on the Drake May or trade out train. That's what I would do. Yeah, maybe, I'll trade up for three or trade out of six.
I'm sorry. Maybe Harbaugh shouldn't be a coach. Maybe he should be an agent because he's the one who really got McCarthy in terms of all the praise and the platitudes he was throwing in every direction. And I get it. You know, he's your guy and you want to elevate him and you certainly believe him. I'm not saying that Harbaugh's lying, but those words carry a lot of weight. You know, Jim's not just a guy who had a great success. Successful run in college, and now he's going to give the NFL try. Jim Harbaugh a try. Jim Harbaugh was a great NFL coach as well, who, if he had a little bit more luck, whether it's Kyle Williams, you know, failing to get that punt against the Giants, the lights going out. I mean, this guy should have one or two Super Bowls. So
should be coaching the Jets by now anyway.
That would have been nice, but he's not. But really, his words carried the weight and got the accelerated hype going with McCarthy.
Let's get back to the phones here. BT and Sal on the Fan. Shane is in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. You're pumped up about that Giants draft, Shane?
Oh, let's go, baby. Christmas morning. fellas, can you hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. I agree with both you guys. DJ, he's done. He stinks. I don't want to see him anymore. The problem is we gave him the bag, and this whole offense stinks too, not just him. So here's my contention. You guys let me know what you think. As much as it kills me, let's take a page out of the Jets playbook. When they drafted Wilson, they got Breece Hall. We need to stack this team up with weapons, make it a little more delectable to come to the Giants.
Oh, it's a good word.
This team is not desirable right now. Nobody wants to come here. Receivers won't come here because the QB stinks. QBs don't want to come here. We have no weapons. So, I don't know.
It's about I don't think it's about guys, and thank you for the call, Shane, about guys not wanting to come here. They just brought Darren Waller in last offseason. He's one of the more desirable, guys out there.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's about that. Plus, they have a good system. It's New York. It's the New York Giants.
The Giants.
Shane and Dable. I mean, come on. So I don't think they're not desirable. I understand what you're saying to a certain extent, but I don't think that matters. What I think matters is they need to build a good football team, and they're far from that. They're in the early stages of a total rebuild with a new general manager and new head coach. I know we're now going, you know, into their third season together, which is why, BT, I think it's imperative that they get the quarterback.
I think one of the strongest things, and sometimes it works against you, you can see things that aren't there, overreact, whatever, but self-preservation is a powerful thing. And they know that if they don't win this year, I think if the Giants have if they don't take a quarterback and they have a brutal season, I think Dable's gone.
See, I don't. A caller mentioned that before. We've talked about this, too, you know, over the course of the offseason here. I don't think Dable's getting fired anytime soon.
I'm not
soon.
Saying that I would fire him. I'm saying
you think the Giants would really do that at this point?
If it's a sideways season and they still don't have the quarterback of the future in the building, and if he doesn't comport himself in their eyes maybe a little more professionally, I could see it getting off the rails.
Yeah, I don't see it. I think Dable's going to be here. Now, again, depending on what happens, sure, but even if he has a bad year, I think Dable's going to be here for the long term, and I also think that even if he has a bad year, he's still going to get more, at least one more, maybe an additional fifth year on top of it. We haven't seen him get going yet.
Depends on his personality, Sal.
Yeah.
I'm emphasizing that more. He's a tightly wound guy.
Here's why I think it's even more...
Which I don't mind him. I like that,
right,
by the way.
I know.
But, I think it rubs some people the wrong way.
We both are fans of that.
Yep.
I think it's even more imperative they get a quarterback now because of if they don't, because it could still be evaluation mode again for Daniel Jones. That to me is, I'm done with it. They should be done with it. It's over. I don't care what the contract says this year, the injury stuff, moving forward. I don't care what they do next season. It's over. It should be over for Daniel Jones. And I'm not 100% certain that everybody in that building feels that same way. And that's why I want to confirm tonight. If you trade up for number three, it's over definitively for Daniel Jones.
That is true.
If you take a first-round quarterback at six, and even if you take a first round, it's over
even
for Daniel.
Even if you drop back to 12 or 13 to get Penix, over.
Correct. Anything less than that, it's not over for Daniel Jones.
I hear you on that. Especially if the owner still, you know.
Right.
Who supports him.
Especially if they take a wide receiver. AJ is in Lincroft. What's up, AJ?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. What's happening, buddy?
Just wanted to talk. So I believe the Jets are, that their O-line is a little too fragile to draft a tight end. I mean, I love Bowers. I want Bowers. I think it could be a mismatch nightmare. But, you know, Tyron Smith, he hasn't played a full season since 2016. You had ABT has been out two season-ending injuries the past 2 years. Even the new guy,
Tippmann?
Morgan Moses.
Oh, Moses, and they brought back. Yeah, Moses, good depth. Yep, Morgan Moses.
You know, just by that alone, I just think they're a little too fragile at that in the offensive line unit, and they have to get more depth there just in case.
I don't think that they, you know, I'm all for depth, and thanks for the call, AJ. I don't think you need depth at number 10. I think you can get that. Well, they don't have a second-round pick, which is why I'm a big proponent of maybe dropping back and getting one. But you get depth in the middle rounds. I think that they think that their offensive line is immeasurably better than it was a year ago on paper. I tend to agree.
And they'll take all linemen in this draft.
Oh, 100%. They might take two.
Right.
They might take two middle rounds. Yeah, but I don't think that they're sitting there. I mean, I told you with the text from inside the building, just they're thinking receiver. I don't think that there's an urgency alert. Matter of fact, I know that there's not. We're there right now at 12:57, hours before the draft, sitting there saying, we need a lineman. They're not thinking that right now. I don't think that they need to think that right now.
Which is a good spot to be in. It's just, for me, philosophy where I look at them and say they can use a lineman more than they can a tight end, certainly. And that's where I would go, looking ahead to the future, not just based off of what can we do for Aaron Rodgers right now, even though a lineman does both.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.